Are you an atheist? In fact, there's probably not any atheist here tonight, is there? But let me ask you three related questions. Number one, are you a functional atheist? Number two, were you taught to be a functional atheist? And number three, do you sometimes think like a functional atheist? Well, everybody over here on this side should know that the word atheist comes from two Greek words, a and theos. Remember that? So what does a and theos mean? What does a mean? Without. Very good. So an atheist simply means without God. A meaning without, theos meaning God. Therefore, an atheistic system is simply without God. An atheist wants to live their life without God. They would like you to live your life without God. They want a culture without God. They want to make decisions in life without God. But were you taught to be a functional atheist? Probably everybody in this room was taught to be a functional atheist. I know I was. I was taught reading without God. I was taught math without God. I was taught economics without God, business without God, psychology without God, sociology without God, English. Well, wait a second, I thought it used to be based upon Greek, which had an awful lot to do with the God. Webster's Dictionary had a lot of Bible verses in it. Not anymore. Not when I went to school. What about law without God or politics without God? Biology without God, archaeology without God, American history without God, world history without God, physics? Well, I like physics. I was taught it without God. Sports without God, sex without God, yeah. And marriage nowadays without God, isn't it? That's what's being taught to us. Are we making decisions like an atheist? Or maybe reacting sometimes the way an atheist would? How do the atheists approach every single area of life? When they get a new problem that comes up to them, the first thing that comes in their head says, hey, I wonder what the Bible says about this. That's not what the atheist says, is it? That's the furthest thing from their mind. You see, they've been taught how to solve the problems in engineering, sociology, life, family, marriage, without God. Basically, they're relying on themselves without God, others without God, or their own emotions. And whether it's without God or their own emotions, the Bible says explicitly, don't trust those things. Well, a lot of people in here have a regular job, a secular job, an atheistic type job. How many decisions did you make last week without God? I know when I'm doing my programming and LabVIEW and those type things, the data acquisition, it's like, oh yeah, this is without God. Or how many times have you gone home, interacted with your wife, fairly similar to what an atheist would do? How about who you decide to marry? How many people make that decision without God? That's one of the things I like about this congregation, these young people. They say, oh, no, we're marrying a Christian. They're not making that decision without God, are they? How many people choose their friends without God? If you choose your friends without God, I'll guarantee you, they will try to move you away from God. Not because they're conscious of this, that's just their habits. That's their bias. Are you even aware that you might be thinking like an atheist? What will cause you to think like an atheist? Well, sometimes peer pressure will do that to you, won't it? Sometimes when the culture shows you what's right and wrong or what's fair, how do you make that decision? Culture wants you to make that without God. Or sometimes we're swayed by majority opinion. Is that usually without God? Yeah. Now let's go to how you were taught certain definitions of words. I picked on this word, it's kind of easy. Beauty. What makes a beautiful woman? Where did you learn that? Do these women look beautiful to you? Well, okay. They used to be to some cultures in the past. There's the Egyptians. They thought a beautiful woman was pale. Why? Because that meant you stayed out of the sun, your slaves did all the work, you're rich. Okay. Well, what about the Greeks? Well, the Greeks said, well, the women need to be a bit plump, maybe fat, chubby, that kind of stuff, right? That's what they had in some of those statutes. What about 1960s? All of a sudden, we want the women to look rather skinny, right? Rather thin. That's what our culture shifted to. By the 1980s, we kind of shifted to other attributes, let's say it that way. Nowadays, I've been told there's this new look out there, and they're calling it the drug addict look. I call it hooker look. That's good-looking woman? No, folks. You see, in Revelation chapter 17, those type of women is described beautifully. They wear gold, precious stones, and pearls, and it talks about what do? They're abominations, filthiness of fornication. What about the godly woman, the real beauty? Well, one set of attributes in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Not with gold, pearls, or costly clothing, but instead, what are their attributes? They profess godliness based upon the way they dress themselves and the way they present themselves, and they have good works. I got a question for you guys. How many of y'all ever looked at another woman and said, that woman's got some good works? Oh, I like that modest dress. You should be saying that. Yeah. So what are some solutions? Let's check your solutions. Well, the first thing you need to do in these solutions is check your sources. Second thing is check your bias. We have a certain bias, right? And we also need to check our attitude. In checking your sources, let's go through a checklist. This might help you whenever you run across a piece of information and need to make a decision. Number one, is the source of this information reliable? Or you might phrase it another way. Does this source give any honor to God? Number two, what is this source trying to get me to believe? Number three, what conclusions does this source normally teach? Number four, what facts are behind their conclusions? What facts may be left out? Oh, that's a biggie. How would I test these conclusions? Because the Bible says, test all things, hold fast what is good. And are these arguments consistent with what we have already proven is true? We've already proven God's word. So is it consistent with that? Let me give you an example. I work out at Kennedy Space Center. NASA runs things out there, right? So let's go to the first question. Is NASA a good source? Are they reliable? No. NASA's not reliable? Do they believe? What are they trying to get me to believe? Or are they trying to get me to compromise on creation? They're trying to get me to not stand up for God and the Bible. That's part of their purpose. What are their conclusions? Oh, billions of years. What's the facts behind their conclusions? I think you all have seen some of the lessons. Many misrepresented facts, and what facts do they leave out? They leave out the key facts that points right to God. How would I test these conclusions? Well, go look at all the data, not just the data they want to present. And are the arguments used consistent with what we already know is true? Not from NASA. Their arguments are not consistent. So check your sources. But in Psalms chapter 1, it says don't learn from NASA. Isn't that what it's saying? Let's read it. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And what's the conclusion for the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Conclusion is, whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that what you want? Now, realize as humans, we also need to check our bias. So the next time you have a religious question, here's what I want you to do. Go to Google. I think Google's got a bias, don't they? But I guarantee you, you can go to Google and find any answer you want. Not the answer you need, not necessarily the truth, but you can find any answer you want, can't you? You don't want to repent of this particular sin. You don't want to take up the cross and follow Jesus. You don't want to give up alcohol. You don't want to do... Just name the list. Go to Google. Search it in. I guarantee you, make the top results. So Google has its bias. Our culture has its bias. We have our own biases. Now, third, you need to check everything else. Check your source. Check your bias. Now you need to check your attitude. Now, I'd like to give you an analogy for this, and bear with me. It's a basketball analogy. Okay? I want you to imagine that you and your teammates, you're on a basketball team. You and your teammates always required your coach to give you an answer that made sense to you. In fact, sometimes in the middle of the game, you go over to the coach and say, no, I disagree with that play. We should be running this one instead. How do you think you'd do? I think your team would lose a lot of games, wouldn't you? You see, even if you had the greatest basketball coach who ever lived, an atheist would still argue against that coach because they're running their lives according to their principles. We have the greatest coach in the universe called God. He knows what's best for us, he knows what's best for our families, and he knows what's best for society. But the atheists don't want to submit to that. He's written down his instructions that we need for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. We do not have to understand why he said to do every single detail, because we've already proven the Bible's from him. Therefore, we just know and need to know what he said. We need to avoid learning from the ungodly, as we just saw in Psalms chapter 1. We need to beware of our own emotion, our own bias. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Don't trust your heart. And we need to beware of false teachers, like in Matthew chapter 7. You see, Matthew chapter 7 talks about this thing called a narrow path, which basically says the vast majority of Americans are going to wind up in the wrong place. 70% of them claim to be Christians. Well, if 70% are Christians or 30% are Christians, then Jesus lied. Because he said narrow, few. You see, if we can help you in any way, shape, or form get on this narrow path that the Bible talks about, then please come forward as we sing this invitation song for your encouragement.